So, welcome to a Radio Geekly.
Thank you.
I'm here with, and help me with the pronunciation of your name.
Kimmery.
Kimmery, and that's spelled with two Y's.
Yes.
Fantastic. So, we're talking about LARP, or live action role play today. How do you define that? What goes into that activity?
Live action role play just means that you're a person who's involved in storytelling physically. Because that's what role playing is, we're storytellers.
Right.
And we're interested in all kinds of different stories. And so sometimes that story is of zombies and you're dodging behind rocks, right? And maybe another story is about a love affair in a 1920s cafe. And another story is about intrigue in Greece, you know, turn of the century.
Right.
So live action role play can be about any part of the world, any group of people. It's about being a humanoid, you know, being a person, being an identity, and telling a story with another group of people.
When you say tell a story and live action, so when one LARPs, what generally goes into that?
With a LARP, very typically you're going to maybe either invent a character before you go in if the Dungeon Master or GM has worked with you before, or maybe you'll be handed one. Maybe the GM has assigned one and thought of one, you know, all convention just for you, and designed one explicitly around you. So a character is usually assigned or created at the beginning of the game, and then the rules therein are just, you know, it depends on the game. So some people come in their own costumes, and it's not required for the game. It helps them get into character. Sometimes the GM has specifically selected costumes or props they want to create a sense of the space. But it's all just, what would you need to imagine this situation? And so some people need the full corset to do the full thing because that limits your movement and that tells a part of who you are. And some people are more than happy to show up in their jeans and t-shirt and tell the same story.
Very cool. So if we were looking for a LARP, or maybe you could tell us like where you found LARPs initially, and that will help us learn where to find LARPs of our own for our listeners.
Well, there's a huge LARP that goes on in Oregon called Dystopia Rising. That's it's an all-weekend camping one. You kind of play zombies or you play a character. It's you're camping out. It's very close and interactive and interpersonal, and it's the story that goes, you know, all summer, which is really interesting. And rather than have a story that lasts an hour or two or a weekend, it goes on all summer. It just keeps going.
Wow.
So that's huge. But really, I mean, the way I started LARPing was because I knew some nerd friends in high school, and we just wanted to. There are books on it in probably every gaming store. Next to your D&D manual, there will be a LARPing book.
Interesting.
So if you know some people who are just interested in maybe grabbing a drink and hanging out and just physically telling a story, you can do it in a park. You can do it with no props, you can do it with all the props. I bet you if you go down Facebook and look up LARP groups in Portland, Oregon, you'll find more.
Okay, so Facebook, good resource. Would Craigslist offer something like that?
So,
and you mentioned Dystopia Rising in particular. Does Dystopia Rising have a website?
Yes. They're a really big, well-put-together group. They're fantastic.
Oh.
And I've worked with them at conventions, and they're a great group.
Very cool. What is SCA and LARP? Do unpack this for us.
Okay. The SCA is a huge organization that spans the whole U.S. We have kingdoms that are all over the country. And there are other similar reenacting societies in other parts of the world. In fact, Europe is, of course, way better at this than we are. But
right, Europe, where the history is.
right. In the SCA, we're trying to recreate the Middle Ages, or the span they're in, not exactly the strict Middle Ages, as they should have been, right? So we're going to have access to clean water and actual health care. We'll have some rules about how hard you hit somebody on the head. But, you know, rather than showing up in gear that you made yourself to play a character that survived the apocalypse, you're going to play a historically accurate character. So you may have a persona, and you're going to play that every war you're in. You're going to have clothing that you've handmade. You're going to have stitching lines that are exactly right. You're going to have, you know, plate mail armor or leather. It's all going to be historically accurate. It's going to be vetted. There is a hierarchy and a system that makes sure that we're as close to the dream, and that's the term we use, right? We're the dream that we can make it.
Wow. So almost like dream police.
Kind of. Because the whole idea is if you want to just have fun, that's great, and we want you to have fun in the SCA. But we're not just here to have fun. We think it's fun to be historically researched and be accurate about what it is we're doing.
Wow. Very cool. And we can find SCA events on, like, SCA.org?
SCA.org.
Any other products that we might want to know about? I mean, you seem to have a pretty good handle on these. Like, is there anything besides Dystopia Rising that is, like, multi-state or even, like, a piecemeal, like, one-off product that maybe doesn't go for every weekend?
Well, I mean, a lot of the LARPers I know are just GMs who probably write their own games at this point. So, and maybe it's just because I've raced in the SCA, and then I'm a nerd, and I grew up playing D&D. I know a bunch of GMs, and a lot of the GMs I know are online, and they can just say, hey, I'm running an event this weekend at the park, you know, who wants to come?
Oh, cool.
And so, a lot of the GMs that are out there, they really want you to show up and try, and just play, because a lot of them have invented these stories, they've rewritten their own rules. There's a lot of books out there, and there's a lot of how-to guides online if you want to look them up or go to Powell's and find the resources.
Wait, how-to guides for LARPs?
Yeah.
Do tell. So is there like an idiot's guide to LARPing? Or...
Yes, there is.
Oh, my God.
But there's also rule books like a Dungeon Master's Guide. But just like when you started playing D&D or GURPS, you realized it was a toolbox and not the game. That it was just a way of framing the question and not the way you go about it. So, LARPing is often, you have this really cool idea and you want to figure out how to actually do it. So how do you figure out how to, let's say you want to play a game and it's Western style, but aliens invaded and they're undercover. Okay, how would you deal with a group of people having projectile weapons? What are the rules for that? How do you invent that? How do you make sure that everybody's generally scaled the same way and that they can interact with each other in a similar way? And so a lot of GMs I know get very tired of the books pretty quickly within the first few games, and they want to try and invent their own. Because with the way you frame human interaction isn't just, you know, roll a d20 or flip a coin. You want to try and get creative about how you solve conflicts.
Oh, good question. How does one solve conflicts in LARPs? Like, what?
So, I mean, I know a GM who has dice in a little clacky ball thing. And I know GMs who just do the rock, paper, scissors. Or you can do, like, word kids and you have just a pew-pew gun and he hit you, man, it's fair, you know? Or, you know, it's going to depend on the game. And so you've walked into a room and you have to accept the rules that are given to you.
Right.
And the rules are either you're going to play rock, paper, scissors and tough, or maybe the GM says, no, I want to see you talk it out. I want to see how your character gets them out of this situation.
Cool.
It really depends on the game and the moment.
Very cool. I'm thinking about all those, you know, charisma rolls that we made once upon a time made in Dungeons and Dragons.
Right, exactly, right. So, or intimidate being the opposite one, right?
Yeah.
So you want to intimidate them? Go. I want to see that. Go for it. You know.
Okay, cool. So, would you say LARPing offers perhaps like a social sandbox of sorts to experiment, or
very true.
It feels like there's a deeper level going on here that maybe, you know, what opens up possibilities for exploring our emotional or reactionary selves.
Maybe, yeah. I think that really depends on the person. So I know some people who, if they're sitting at a table with pen and paper and they're trying to act out a character, so to speak, they feel really corny. And they can't, like, get into it. So they're going to whip out their phone and mess around because they're not there. They're not 100% engaged.
Right.
If you're in a room with 20 strangers and you've got to play this character because they're a part of somebody else's plan, like, you kind of feel held accounted to behave in a certain way. Like, I don't have the other word for it, but we are, you're immersed. You know, immersion that happens.
Right.
And that creates some interesting story or dialogue that maybe you wouldn't have gotten to because there was barriers. You weren't fully engaged. But now that you're fully immersed in it, you know, you kind of go a little bit all out. You try new things. You maybe go places you didn't go before.
Cool. So let's talk about going places that we haven't gone before. Because I think this has been really illuminating about how, where, what, why. So now, for due diligence and to play the devil's advocate, I do like LARPing. I like D&D. How is a safe space created and or maintained within a LARP?
How is a safe space created or maintained in any group?
Ah, So, alluding to sort of like what rules, structures, referees, the will of the people.
Right, right. So, I mean, the geek community, because we're a subculture, gets a lot of gruff because we maybe have people who are less socially confident. Maybe they behave in ways that we find less socially appropriate. And so we can have a harder time, especially at conventions where we all get together, maintaining boundaries and making sure that the rules of appropriate behavior are kept. Because sometimes you get a bunch of geeks together and like, great, we're all in a subculture together, woohoo, no boundaries. Okay, well, that's, you know, that doesn't work because, you know, maybe that's an Anne McCaffrey nerd and not a D&D nerd. You know, maybe that's a Star Trek nerd and nowhere near a role-playing nerd, you know? There's all kinds of different nerds out there, just like there are all kinds of different people. And if you're going to shove them all into a room, you have to have a common consensus about what is acceptable to do in that room. So, usually at big gatherings of people, you know, even if I go to a party at a friend's house, he'll say, so by the way, don't smash things. Okay, thanks. So, you know, your GM is probably going to also say things like that at the beginning of the game. Just, you know, by the way, these are my possessions. Please don't break them. Please be aware that they're mine. You know, we're all different people, so let's be respectful of each other's bodies. Let's ask permission before we go. You know, don't get too excited with each other or with yourself and maybe hurt yourself or hurt someone else, because the whole point of being here is to have fun.
Right.
And if we're not having fun, then we're all just going to leave here miserable.
Indeed. So, let's see. In Portland. So I know that GameStorm offers a good amount of LARP programming, which you're very much a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another event that we should be aware of? Dystopia Resin, does that happen in Portland? Or
no,
Portland?
No. We're not. I know they just moved campsites, and I don't actually remember where they moved it to now. They're out in the hills a little bit, so you're going to go to like a Boys and Girls camp. Girl Scout camp out there.
Gotcha.
A little ways. I haven't ever actually done Dystopia Rising. I just happen to know everybody who does it.
Gotcha.
So my Facebook is pretty much just Dystopia Rising. And I'm like, hi guys. I'm not able to, you know, spend Friday, Saturday, Sunday camping every weekend. And I definitely have friends who can, you know, do that with their lives, and I just don't.
Well, that's quite the investment of time.
Right. And it's similar to the SDA. You know, you're going to spend a week at least two or three times a year out camping, and you've got to hand make all of your outfits, and they all have to be historically accurate, and, you know, don't forget feeding yourself, and you're probably going to maybe involved in something like a class, maybe you shoot archery, maybe you, you know, get an armor and go out and play. So a lot of this stuff, I love them, but they take a huge amount of investment. And so as being, you know, I'm 27 and I'm at a point in my life where spending an entire weekend or a week doing something is like, that's great.
That's a very large investment.
Let me know how that goes.
There are responsibilities that are knocking on the door.
And right. And I love having a challenging job. And unfortunately, a lot of my friends don't have challenging jobs. They maybe have jobs that just pay the bills. And they maybe just get by. And so I can understand investing a lot more. I love having a job that's a little more consuming, and I work like 50 hours a week. And that's great. That's good for me.
I'm very much of the same ilk. I work at Intel. So that's one job, and then I also do large live action games for OMSI at least once a year, if not twice.
Oh, cool.
And then other stuff like Game Lab. I just like bringing games out, or like facilitating that interaction between game designers and playtesters or the community, because you see this like sort of lightning happen, and everyone really enjoys it, even if there's not like, you know, physical prizes.
Right.
I was just over at OMSI for a Friday night, like, hilariously, Intel had bought the night. I was not part of the Intel group, but I was part of the vendor group. But I brought live-action Hungry Hungry Hippos, and...
I bet they loved it.
Yes, they loved it, and I never thought that I would have to, like, remind people, now, guys, don't hit each other in the head with the baskets.
Right.
But I'm like, this is so Intel. You guys are, like, actually trying to hit the other
hippos
with your hippos.
Well, you're like, I can win. Right, yeah. It's brilliant. But, I mean, that's something that's very true in roleplay. Like, I think anytime you start getting physical, you have to, you know, remind yourself that, you know, just like when you were five, you should maybe not do that.
Yeah.
Right? And so you get really excited when you can do that physically. And then you have to remind yourself that, you know, you're 30 and maybe you should And it's not just for social weirdos. It can just be for everybody. We all, human beings, enjoy storytelling.
Totally.
But it's what we do, right? It's in our theater. It's in our movies. It's, of course, in books and things. But it's in our history. It's in our politics. It's in our newspapers. It's in our neighborhood bulletins. It's in the stories we talk to our kids about. Like, you know, storytelling is a big part of what needs to be human. Because we're making sense of the world.
So, and it's Kimri.
Yes, Kimri.
I've got it now. thank you so much for this interview.
Yeah,